Okay, there's no business to be reported out from the closed session. I would like to make a comment to the board members. We received a thank you note for dedicating last meeting to the memory of Bill Young. His wife, Alberta, wrote a little thank you note saying how wonderful it was that we acknowledged his contributions. Okay, I have no public comment cards. Superintendent's report.
Well, actually, I'm going to move you right on into our first item of business, which is the 2016-17 CIF Golden Empire League representatives. And the purpose of this agenda item is to request the board appoint the following representatives to the California Interscholastic Federation Golden Empire League for the 2016-17 school year. You will see the list there: Bob Eckerd, Bob Jensen, Christine Valdick, and Chris Schmidt from Lyndhurst High School, Gary Sina, David Kiona, and Amy Eagleston Acosta from Marysville High School. I would recommend that the board approve these representatives.
There's no discussion. Does somebody make a motion?
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. Item two is a public hearing for the LCAP. I'll open the public hearing.
I think what I would like to do, Mr. Rex, if you will indulge me for a moment, walk you through the highlights of the 16-17 local control accountability plan, and then if anyone has a comment, they certainly are welcome to make that. This evening I have for you a very brief PowerPoint presentation to walk you through how we got to where we are tonight. As you will remember, the Marysville Joint Unified School District LCAP has three goals. They are listed there. Same ones we've had for the last 3 years. And with each year, we have a committee that comes together to talk about the LCAP and the budget as we see that moving forward through the year. We have representatives from all of our bargaining units, our assistant principals, principals, board members. You see the list there is rather lengthy, but we do want to get input from all of our constituents. We had a number of meetings. We began in December, and then February, March, and then in April, we had the final results from the survey, the stakeholder survey, which the committee then moved forward with recommendations to the superintendent. It's a very similar schedule to what we've had the last couple of years, so it's making sure that they are all well advised of their role and for them to go out and solicit recommendations and information that they can bring back to the larger committee. The LCAP results from the survey are there on the screen. You will see this document. You've seen it before. It's listed by item and the number of votes. We asked all of our constituents to either go online and take the survey there, or they could turn in hard copies, and those results were entered into this tabulation. We had 1,685 surveys submitted by the due date, which was April 8th of this year. From there, the advisory committee looked at that list and said yes, they concurred with a number of those, but you will also see where it says other items recommended. In our discussions, it was talked about the need for additional assistant principals. We are limited to the number that we can have, not only financially, but also, more importantly, by the California Education Code, which has a formula that allows us to bring more administration on board as we have more students. And they also wanted to make sure that we had school counselors as needed based on the student populations. So from those two lists, I have moved forward with some recommendations, but before I go there, I wanted you to take a look at what have we already funded? What are those items? You've seen this list before, but what I have for you here is a total from our first year of implementation of LCFF through the LCAP plan, and it totals $5,402,250. Some of these figures may look a little different from that first year that we brought it forward to you, and that's because we've updated the 2014-15 costs to what the cost would be in today's dollars for 16-17. So some of those did go up in the cost to the district. 15-16, we added more items, as you can see here. That list totals $5 million, almost $300,000. And again, these numbers were updated this year. Even though they're only a year old, our costs have gone up, and so some of those figures are a little higher. And what is the superintendent recommending to the Board of Trustees tonight for the 16-17 LCAP? You have had a chance to look at the draft template that is provided to you by the State Department of Education for California. It's a lengthy document and not always user-friendly. So I've tried to consolidate that into a better format that allows us to see more succinctly what it is I'm recommending to you. Under Goal 1, looking at increasing athletic budgets for both the intermediate and the high school setting, Lyndhurst and Marysville will be receiving an additional $20,000. That's in addition to what they received in year one. McKinney and Yuba Gardens and Foothill, our intermediate sites, will be getting $5,000 additional. They received funds last year as well. And please remember, these are all ongoing costs until the board chooses to either eliminate or to reduce or increase those funds. We are looking at purchasing an online software program called Plato, and it will be for high school credit recovery, and it also has some career technical education courses on there that would be electives for our students. And that would be at our high schools, both the comprehensive and the continuation, and our community day school. We also wanted to add more textbooks at the high school. We used to receive funding from the state individually for specific textbooks, and those dollars have all been rolled into our allocation, but it is important that the high schools, as they have multiple subjects and multiple textbooks, are able to replenish those books as needed. So you'll see there an $80,000 has been allocated for our high schools to help purchase those textbooks. We've talked to you before about athletic trainers at our high schools. We have increased that to one full-time position at Lyndhurst and one full-time position at Marysville High School. We believe that we will be able to get better candidates who are able to be available year-round, even in the evenings when we have games and such going on. We're going to increase our PE specialists. You notice there is a $0 there. We had projected seven originally, and we did not hire seven. So we had 6.4 last year that we added, and we're looking at one more for this year. So that's all within that original calculation. We do want to add one more elementary music teacher. That way all of our sites will receive music instruction at the elementary level. Some of our music teachers are going to 3 and 4 sites, and so that will allow them to spend a little more time at their assigned sites rather than trying to make it to so many sites during the week. I'm also recommending that we allocate some supply money for the music program, for music and instrument repair. Those kinds of costs now are coming into play as we increase our music offerings. You'll notice there that I am recommending that we add one FTE elementary assistant principal, and specifically that would be a halftime position at Cedar Lane and a halftime at Ella. We want to make sure that we're maintaining our ROP and career technical education funding as those dollars diminish. We want to make sure we keep those programs running, and so we're going to be adding an additional $193,000 to the $400,000 that we're already allocating for those programs. And finally, in Goal 1, we want to increase the STARS program by 4 3.5-hour instructional assistants, specifically 2 at Arboga and 2 at Edgewater, to deal with our very long waiting list of students who want to get into that program. For Goal 2, which is the enhancing the current learning environment, adding another health aide as our students continue to present more difficult health issues, we need more folks to be out there helping them with their health plans. We have a lot more diabetic students, and so we need to make sure we have that coverage at those key times, which are primarily before lunch. So getting the folks there is imperative to student health. We want to purchase safety emergency supplies and have training allocated in the amount of $50,000. Certainly we have more needs than that, but it's a start, and it will allow us to purchase some of those items that we need to have, not only at the school site, but to begin purchasing actual classroom emergency supplies. We are going to add 2.5, if the board approves this plan next week, in counselors for our 6, 8, and alternative ed programs. Those positions are sorely needed. We added some this year, and one day at an intermediate school is never enough, because we all know those problems don't happen on that one day. And our middle school need more time, so that will allow us to provide more service to more students at our current sites. We are also going to add, hopefully, a 1.5 school resource officer. One would be through Marysville Police Department, one will be through the Yuba County Sheriff's Department, and they will be housed at our comprehensive high schools and will also be available to go over and visit our intermediate and elementary as those situations present themselves. We want to increase our routine maintenance fund by $205,000. As our buildings continue to age, there are projects that continue to be on that list that need to be addressed, and that will allow us to do that. One of the other areas, and the last one for goal two, is to add a speech teacher on special assignment. That would be a half-time position, and we are looking to have someone who could provide support to our speech therapists who have the technical knowledge that will help them be more effective in their school sites. Goal three, we did not add anything new to that specific goal. I did receive one public comment. It's posted on the web, and encouraging folks to take a look at the plan and to submit any comments. And I did receive the one, as I said. They did look at the top choices that were posted on our web as being of the greatest benefit to the high schools, and they'd like to see more of a balance. And so what I wrote back to them is here on the board, and I basically said, if you're looking at the LCAP survey results, they were all specific to the high school level. The listed items received the highest votes on the district 2016 LCAP survey. It's important to note that the results of the LCAP survey and the LCAP budget committee recommendations to the superintendent are for consideration and do not necessarily reflect the totality of what the superintendent will recommend to the Board of Trustees. And it goes on to say, I've attached a multi-year listing, which I'll show you in a moment, of all of the items funded and proposed to be funded by the LCAP from 2014 to 2017. And I did break them down by district-wide, elementary, intermediate, and high school level. I believe you've seen this list before. It looks a little different on the big screen, but these items are the same list that I gave you that was by item, not by level. You'll see for goal one, we've actually implemented $8,088,713 worth of additional positions, materials, or staffing. And it's pretty well spread. You'll see the district-wide is a nice big number, elementary, intermediate, and high school. Yes, there's some difference in the totals that they have, but we've tried to spread it as evenly as possible, and goal two has a grand total of $4,105,262 that have been allocated for that specific goal. And finally, for goal three, you'll see it was $167,319, primarily because we don't have as much personnel that helps us with that goal to be accomplished, so those dollars are not quite as high, those dollar amounts are not as high as you've seen in the other two goals. The timeline, it's really small because we've had a lot of key indications of when we need to have things completed. And good news is we are down at the next to the last item, which is the special board meeting, which is to hold a public hearing for the draft LCAP for our district. And then also MCAA will be doing their presentation to you after the district's LCAP has been presented. And then hopefully next Tuesday night, the board will approve the LCAP as presented. Any questions?
So, Dr. Todd, would it be possible to get a copy of your presentation? I don't think. Do we have that?
I will give you one. I have one here tonight, but certainly I can make copies for all of you.
And then I did have just a comment, just looking up at one of the items for 1617 to maintain the ROP CTE funding. And I think if my memory served me, 1516, the district received 60% of the allocations from the ROP, and we supplemented with $400,000 in 1516. And the proposal from the Tri-County ROP for 1617 is only 30% of the total that you had back in 1415. And we're only adding $193,000. So I would just want to double check to make sure that we're going to have enough funding that would go back to the 1415 school year of whatever that number was to make sure that we were able to maintain all those courses.
Yes, those figures were brought forward by Jamie Larson, who is directly linked to those programs, and so those dollar amounts in working with our business services department are accurate to the best of our knowledge.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. If there are no other comments, we'll close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
Yeah, motion to close is... Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Unanimous. Item three, public hearing for the MCAA LCAP. As the target approaches the podium.
Hope you're not armed. Anyway, hello everyone. I'm here to present MCAA's LCAP for 2016-17. And we also had meetings. We didn't have a survey this year because that top item, the stakeholder input from meetings and things that we've talked about in the past and was in surveys in the past, that was by far the overwhelming thing that our stakeholders wanted was some more room, more classrooms. Currently, we have one teacher that has to use the community day school for one class, so they actually have to walk off and use that off campus. So this will be a great thing for us. So that was one of them. But we did hold site council meetings, several of those, and we had school leadership meetings, and we also had student leadership meetings. And this is what they came up with, their top three. Save and purchase two of the three modular classrooms planned, which if you go out there, you can see the work's being done already. They moved the storage room already. They're getting ready to lay cement leading up to the doors there. They also want to maintain current funding for the arts because the arts, that's the whole reason we're there, and continue to provide after-school tutoring. Now, goal one, our goals, I think I said this last year, are exactly the same as the district's. Provide learning opportunities that result in increased academic achievement and ensure quality classroom instruction for all students, including support systems which meet the needs of targeted population. Now, you guys have one of these. Sorry, Gold, Gay did something really nice for you and got, or she's going to get you it where it's more readable. But if you look at this, you guys all have this packet, and you can see the goal. I think on the next page, it'll get you close to where it's at. No, not this page, but the next one. Student achievement related to goal one. Well, I just listed some things. Graduation rate in latest available year, which I think was last year, was 100%. Attendance rate was 98%, but I took out that 1 month. You remember when we had the soft lockdown and Marysville High School and us both had a lot of kids that did not show up, and it really hurt that 1 month. So I just took that out and averaged by 9, and it came out to 98%, which met our target. And then CAS testing, the latest available is 2015. This year's hasn't come out yet, but we had 64% of our students meet or exceed the English standards, which was pretty good. And then 37% of students met or exceeded the math. And we always struggle in math. When we had the CAESI, when the government required the exit exam, we targeted that for our students, and the teachers really brought that up equal to the passage rate for the at proficient for the English exit exam. So they really did a good job with that. But math is one area we're always looking to do better and to help students with, struggling students with. So it's, the plan is pretty much the same, but we do have some changes. We are planning on purchasing 18 more Chromebooks along with 3 mobile carts. We figure that will be enough with the with new Common Core books. There's more internet time, and so we think with these 18 more Chromebooks and 3 more mobile carts, we'll have enough for all the students there. Not every student, but enough that we need for the classrooms, especially math and English. And then money allotted for after-school tutoring. Remember, that was one of the things that they wanted to keep. Is reduced a little bit, but it's not reduced because of the money situation. It's reduced because of a reality check. Last year we had after-school tutoring several days for English, math, history, and science. And it turns out that the kids just didn't utilize that. They mainly needed math. A lot of kids used math, and some used English. Once in a while, science. So I just took that number and cut it back. If you look on page 12, it says $4,000, but what happened was I actually ended up switching it. I'll be changing that to $5,500 because that's what it actually came out to. That was last year's figures. I just moved them over to this year without really cutting anything out. So we're still maintaining what we had last year. Then goal 2, enhance the current learning environment to ensure that our school provides a physically and emotionally safe environment that's culturally responsive to all students. Again, that's the same as the district's goal 2. And this has a lot to do with our portables. That's where a lot of our money is going. Like I said, we're taking money that we had saved over the last couple years. We're taking one-time money and putting it towards that, and money that we have saved for next year. That's really all being used now to fund what's going on for us right now. This summer. So we should have 2 more classrooms at the end of the summer. Then also another thing was adding a second water fountain and provide shade for the existing water fountain. We have kids that go out and our PE classes are martial arts and all the dance classes. They go out and they do preparation for the testing. They do the physical fitness testing. And so at least once a week they'll run the track and do things like that. And then when they come out, we only have 1 water fountain. And the sun hits that water fountain about 9 o'clock. It's hot. So we're going to get an awning for that. It has to be DSA approved and all that. And then we're also looking at adding a second water fountain, possibly one with a dispenser. We're still trying to decide if that will make it through the evenings and weekends. Then goal 3, increase parent, family, and community involvement in the education of all students. Mainly with us, it was including Spanish-speaking parents, translating things like the newsletter into Spanish. But the PTSA especially, the site council and the PTSA. The PTSA has been planning for a couple of years to save for a big, one of those digital signs like Marysville has. But we decided not to do that after all because we're... The parents come through in the morning at about, most of them come between 7:30, 7:35, and some come a little bit late, until, you know, so say 8 o'clock. But the plan is to move our drop-off and pick-up location out in front of the district office. So putting a digital sign there wouldn't have the impact. So instead, we've decided on a much, much less expensive manual sign for parents that come in and out. And then we'll continue the school messenger system and translate a newsletter into Spanish. And that's pretty much the change. Any changes that we have? Do you guys have any questions? No.
How far is the water fountain from the track itself?
It's pretty far. It's right there. You know where our office is? It's right on the east end there.
I was a little concerned you might be a little too close to the track.
Well, Mr. Malone, with the addition of the 2 new classrooms, is that going to satisfy, or we still have another teacher going down to CDS?
No, that will satisfy that. We do have several teachers that roam from prep to prep, okay. But with the addition of 2, one of them definitely won't have to do that, and the other one, because the one that roams, she also teaches art. She teaches English and art, and she does do a couple classes back-to-back in the art room, and that'll allow the strings teacher to come in and use that room, too, when she's not there. So it'll be shared for the most part. And then we eventually, when we can afford it, I'm not sure when that will be, we'll plan on getting a 3rd. So, but they are laying the groundwork for that in preparation for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? No. Okay. Thanks. All right.
Okay, then we'll entertain a motion to close the hearing.
Make a motion to close the hearing.
And seconded by Mr. Danable. Mr. Boom? Sorry, I got lost in the paper shuffling. Okay. That brings us to business services. I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. Okay. Business services number one, public hearing for the 2016-17 proposed adopted budget. The required reading for the school board. Okay, the hearing's open. Yes, Mr. Ryan.
Good evening, board members. I hope you enjoy the next couple hours as I take you through the budget. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that long. I'm going to go through a lot of information quickly like we do with the facilities. Stop me at any time if I'm going a little too fast or you want some clarification. So obviously I'm presenting the budget for next year. Showed the cycle diagram many times. We're at the end of the cycle for the 15-16 year. We're pushing in to start the budget for 16-17. We'll close out the 15-16 with unaudited actuals in September, and that keeps turning. The wheel keeps turning with the LCAP underlying the budget now and everything we do. There's obviously a lot of factors into budget development. A lot of it goes into, besides looking at historical trends and a lot of data that we have internally, the LCAP process is obviously fundamental to that as well. Normally we give a separate presentation for May revision, but because of the timing of the release and the workshop and everything that we got and data, it just worked out better to really to come into this meeting and kind of summarize it before we get into the budget. Needless to say, the budget actually at May revised was very close to the January budget. 16-17 is still a strong funding year, not as strong as 14-15 and 15-16, but strong nonetheless. And it brings us up to a 95.7 implementation towards full implementation of the LCFF, which was projected for 2020-2021. So that's a good thing. And there is an assumption underlying the entire budget that Prop 30 will expire, and I'll explain may or may not. After 16-17, the trend and what is expected since so much of the gap has been closed and we're so close to full implementation is that it will be a much slower. Again, this is a slower year, still a positive funding year, 16-17 that I'm describing, but it's supposed to slow more and more as we move forward. There was small increases, you can see. The May revise actually covers 3 years of funding. It goes back to 14-15. They make some adjustments from 15-16 and 16-17. So there's some minor adjustments from what was proposed in January. And the net was a gain total between those three fiscal years from the January proposal to the May revision. And there's still some maintenance factor payments that remain. That's kind of a good thing because once the maintenance factor closes, you're basically left at getting the incremental increases every year and nothing above it. Here's a graphical representation of May revise versus January proposal. January proposals in blue. You can see the red bars are May revise, so two up, one down. And here's a summary chart of exactly the difference between where we were in January when I brought this information to you, I believe in February, and now, which is the basis for our budget that we're preparing for 16-17. Another graphical representation, you could see that green bar is far above the trend bar, which is the bluish aquamarine bar. So that full implementation target is not far off. Another thing, statutory benefits still rolled up into our funding. We don't get additional funding. You can see the rates for both CalSTRS and CalPERS are still either statutorily going to rise or projected to rise by the CalPERS board. So, you know, we're still going to have to cover those costs as the funding slows. Doesn't mean we're going to get more costs. These rates will likely be, with CalSTRS they will be, and with CalPERS they'll likely be increasing, and we'll have to bear that brunt with whatever additional funding we get. Dr. Todd mentioned the routine restricted maintenance, how we're jumping it up 205. A lot of that has to do with this kind of the laws that are going to affect. We have to get to a full 3% of routine restricted maintenance by 2020-2021. We're technically transferring $820,000 to deferred maintenance, so we're not pulling off the 3%, so we're going to incrementally get there. So 16-17 will take one-fourth of that chunk back and try to get there by 2020-2021. But overall, again, another great year in 1670, not quite as good as the last couple, but still very positive year. We expect Proposition 98, which is the proposition that guides all funding for education in the state of California, to slow considerably once the maintenance factor has been paid. And like I said, there's still some maintenance factor left. Once that's paid off, the revenues are still positive in the state, but they used to be exceeding the projections. And they haven't been as much. They've been more meeting or under, and the tax returns were a little under in April. You remember last year, for example, we had a great January proposal for 15-16. May was incredible. So no, we didn't quite see that trend. So you could see the slowing's a little bit, still very positive, though. Obviously, if a recession occurs, you know, we will have to prepare accordingly. And if Proposition 30 is not extended, because that allows more money into the general fund of the state, which obviously helps education amongst other entities. And the good news is the last poll that was put out, survey, was about 58% approval. So we'll see where that comes in November. If that gets approved, everything that I show you today will change. And everything I show you today will change anyway. So we'll just see by how much. So kind of going into the assumptions, the basis of the assumptions for 16-17 in this proposed budget for adoption are right there. A lot of it comes from the May revision. You'll notice there's no statutory COLA. And the real impact there is on categorical programs, so special ed and other programs that aren't necessarily as part of the LCAP or part of the LCFF. Average daily attendance is up too, and we're projecting another increase. We didn't extend that into 17-18 and 18-19. Our demographics show, but it's a little far-reaching at this point, so hopefully increasing attendance occurs that adds on to the already increased funding. So if you'll see this net coming up next year, really on the revenue side, based on LCFF, we expect a total increase of $7.1 million, $3.2 million of that supplemental and concentration. And you can see that $7.1 million of the, you know, $10.4 remaining, and then, but there's still a little bit jumps up because the target moves. So we're within less than $5 million of our target based on our 16-17 target, which again will change year to year, but that's where we're at right now. So we're getting close in this district. Supplemental concentration, proportionality, and target. 21% of our entire LCFF funding is supplemental concentration, so we have to spend that accordingly to increase or improve services for those students in the targeted population. Kind of seeing the big picture overall on the 16-17 budget, there's been a lot of items added in the LCAP. They're all reflected here. We've already made some adjustments too for staffing and other items that we know we're going to have to include in 16-17. And we're still showing on the unrestricted side, we're not showing any change in restricted, but a $5.8 million surplus. Obviously, this is before the budget has even started on July 1st, and this will change. But starting the year, we do have a projected $5.8 million surplus. More on the revenue side, this is just highlighting some of the changes from the estimated actuals, what we believe we're going to end 15-16 with and what we're going to start 16-17 with. And you can see we got the $7.1 million increase I talked about, LCFF. Other state revenues went down. A lot of that's because the one state, one-time discretionary money. There's some in 16-17, but it's a considerably lower rate. Went from about 4.6 to about 1.9, so there's a big difference there, or 2.1, sorry. And then there's also a little bit of the local income. We can't really book it until we know we're going to get it. So that nets against the LCFF increase. And you can see most of our money, as I always say, comes from LCFF. We're basically state-funded. Even that other state revenue is still a little higher because of that discretionary money that's kind of been a one-off in the last couple of years. The attendance, you can see the blue bars are enrollment. The red bars are attendance. So we kind of use historical averages to project our ADA for next year, and our projections are up. They're fairly conservative, not ultra conservative, but fairly conservative. But you can see we're finally starting to see an uptick in that blue bar. The green bar is just what the percentage, what we see enrollment, which we measure in October, and what we see at the second period of attendance ADA, which is in March. That's kind of like what we retain from that enrollment and actually report as ADA. And it fluctuates a little bit, but we're kind of estimating in the middle. So we did see an increase this year in ADA. We project we're going to see one next year. Again, we don't really project past 16-17. We're kind of keeping it steady, but we don't think it will decrease. That's a good thing because, again, we're going to add money already. As you add enrollment, you get more added money for those additional students, or add attendance, actually. Another thing we get a lot of questions about, I know, with the is the lottery money, and that just shows you in millions how much it is comparatively through the years. Lottery monies have both restricted and unrestricted purposes. On the expenditure side, here's the difference between where we estimate we'll finish 15-16 versus what we're proposing. Some big increases you could see on the certificated salaries, some adjustments in terms of staffing additions, step and column and whatnot. Employee benefits are up, and that's mostly because of the statutory benefits. There's a decrease in materials and supply. There was a lot of carryover. We have, which is a little different under LCFF, now we have some of those formerly EIA and other funds that are run through the categorical office that are carried over as they used to be in a restricted, but as those monies are spent or not carried over, redistributed into the whole, you know, those monies are actually decreased, whether they're spent or removed.
So, Ryan, a question. So the sites are still going to have enough funding for materials and supplies because
yes.
of the carryover money? Is that what you're...
If money's spent, then it's obviously not going to be available. But this is carryover from prior years and stuff. They get an allocation for the current year, plus they'll have carryover still. So they still have more than enough.
They're not going to see a decrease to buy paper?
No.
Okay.
No. The resources now are considerably better than they were 4 or 5 years ago on all fronts, categorical and also unrestricted funds, both in terms that some that run through the categorical office, some that are completely discretionary. I think Mr. Cena could attest to that the funding's a lot better. So capital outlay is going down a lot. A lot of that's because we took that one-time money, you know, to finish those projects, and you can see we have 5 facilities projects going on right now. Here's the whole big pie of expenditures. You can see salary and benefits, the people piece is really the big one at 77, and that would actually be higher again if we didn't have so much in capital outlay and those other things that are non-people, that we have to spend on non-people. So on the norm, it's closer to 80 or 80. Between 80 and 85, but right now it's currently at about 77 for the proposed budget for next year. Salary and benefits, you can see the different groups, different employee groups, and how they compose that. Most of it, obviously, is teachers. Second biggest chunk is our biggest classified union, and then next would be administrators. Here's some contributions. So a lot of times we have to contribute to restricted program because there's not sufficient enough resources. The common one you see is special education. We contribute almost $7.9 million to that program. Routine restricted maintenance account. That's just as we're trying to get that operational by law to 3%. And then now we started as part of the LCAP, there's some that's going to the after school program. And here's a graphical representation of special ed and the encroachment or contribution we make of $7.9 million and what it constitutes. Kind of looking at any fund balance, obviously as of right now it's going to increase considerably in 16-17 by about $5.8 million. I will note that there are some restricted and things that we added to the 16-17 budget. One has to do with the assigned, and that's the certificate of participation, the COPS that we have outlined from 2006. That's to pay them the rest off. That doesn't include the ones from 2012 that we're still going to face in 2022, but this will pay off the 2006. So that's assigned, and that will come out of our ND fund balance. So we really have about 62% available for other purposes. Here's the ND fund balance history. You can see kind of had a little bit of increase in the last couple years or projected increase. Next year's bumping up a lot. We'll take that down, obviously, as we add items to the budget throughout the year. Here's a summary of some of the other funds. Obviously, you can see there's activity in more than just the general fund. Looking at the multi-year projection, it's the same assumptions we showed you before, but we're focused on the certain elements, such as attendance we talked about, goes up and will steady out. The gap percentages that we're using the Department of Finance estimates, not school services. They're slightly different. Pretty much every district in the state of California uses the Department of Finance, and that's what's loaded into the FICMAT calculator, which is what we use to determine our LCFF funding.
Ryan, could you go back to the previous slide?
This one?
So number 11, or adult education.
Yeah, there's less than $50,000, and there's like $47,000. Yeah, so 40, that's why it kind of nets to, rounds down to zero.
Okay.
But there's a little money left in there. We don't plan on doing much in there. So
because we don't have adult education, we're just going to let that $44,000 sit there and
yeah, I mean, we'll probably have to work eventually to see what we can do with that. But it's Yeah, it's just 40-some thousand. It's not going to be, we don't project to use it, but we'll have to figure out what we want to do with it. But some of it, probably restricted in purpose, we'll probably have to pay it back. Honestly, it's not something we're even probably ever going to use. And then so you look at the multi-year projection, you can see the increase and decrease over the year, but I want to kind of show that to you more graphically. So right now we're showing this increase, but you will notice, if you go back to the slide, you have 5.8, 6.5, and then it dips down to 5.8 million. So it's like we jump, based on what the Department of Finance is projecting with the gap percentages, it'll peak up a little bit next year, so we'll have a slight increase next year, but then that increase kind of disappears in 18, 19. That's why I said it's going to be kind of diminishing returns after 16, 17. 16, 17 looks to be the last really big gain year for districts, and 17, 18, 18, 19, that's, again, too, if our attendance doesn't increase. Of that 7.1 million, for example, 1.4 million came from our attendance increase alone. That's what we're projecting for next year. So that's a big chunk of that increase, is because we have more kids. So although 16-17 shows a big surplus, the out years really aren't showing much of an increase. It's more steady. So again, this will likely flatten out more, and we'll have to determine by how much with the other expenses that we eventually add throughout the year. This will likely flatten out more because we have the $5.8 million surplus. So as we add things, there'll be, especially things that are ongoing, the 5.8 decreases in 16-17. The 6.5 will decrease in 17-18. 18-19 will decrease by that amount. And sometimes they get bigger. You notice when Dr. Todd was presenting her items that were put on in 14-15 and 15-16 have already changed in price. So those things may eat in part of that surplus as well. So looking forward, this is really the kind of the summation of everything we're trying to get. It's a good year. The gap closure is 5.7 million. Again, the 1.4 million is due to the ADA increase. So that's just due to us having more students in seats. That's something that's wholly away from LCFF, but we definitely benefit from that. We may actually even have a better outlook in November if Prop 30 is passed. We don't know yet. Voter support's looking good. It's a long time till November. Obviously, it would benefit the district, and I don't think anybody would have an issue with that if it's extended. There's an additional $2.1 million in one-time discretion. We talked about that, and we already have that pretty much earmarked to do the second increment of the Lyndhurst HVAC project. So that's moving forward. But it's a little bit, $4.6 million we got last year. So it's a decrease. Still good. We'll take it. And we expect increasing funding to slow. I talked about in the out years that we don't really see an increase. You're basically going to be, the way we're showing it in the out years is we're basically covering our costs. There's no additional extra money. So no additional net growth. And then we're almost at full implementation. So it's not surprising, unless something changes with the LCFF, we get to full implementation. And, you know, there's still funding increase or they find a way to increase. But again, that's a lot of factors to determine there. Maintenance factor being paid off also means we get less of the general fund revenues because they were trying to pay back that money to education. A recession is inevitable. We just don't know when. So hopefully we'll continue to keep that in mind, but also be cognizant of the fact that we do have resources. So it's a delicate balance. The 0% COLA, the lower COLAs in the future years show a lot because there's no really increase built in other than what they're trying to restore to us in funding. And the statutory benefits and other costs will continue to rise, and we'll have to address it. That's why a lot of those costs are in 17, 18, 18, 19, as we project out, or, you know, we're really not gaining anything additional. That's the kind of stuff that's eating up those additional revenues we show. And with that, I just want to thank, like I always, I want to thank Ms. Pasalia, the director of our fiscal services, and her entire staff. They do a tremendous job. It's like I said, this is her baby, and we work together to try to bring you something that, you know, as representative of as accurate and possible as our financial situation at this time. And I want to thank this Jennifer and her staff. Any questions?
Can you refresh me a little bit on the COPS payment? It looks like we're going to have a big payment in 18-19.
No, we have, it varies per year, but it's like $500,000 to $600,000. To finish the 2006 COPS, the real big balloon payment is in 2022, which is about $2.5 million. I think it's around $2.5 million. But there's a lot of time before that. Obviously, we have to look at our facilities. That's why we're already working on master plan and facility funding. It's 2016. We're looking at 2022 for this. We're already preparing for that.
Okay.
So we will be ready. But it's going to be an issue we have to deal with. And I don't think, and you'll see as we go through, we just did a lot of interviews, and we'll bring a recommendation to the board on the 28th, or likely July 19th, sorry, for financial advisory. Likely, we won't be able to offset that total amount. That will be have to be budgeted in 2022, but there may be ways of a combination where we can offset some by some other financing resources and keep some on the general fund, so like a mix. That'll probably be what happens by 2022. But it's there, and it will have to be dealt with.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. And
thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I need a motion to close the public hearing. Okay, moved by Mr. Crawford. Second. Second by Mr. Danable.
Big payment.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? None. I think that's it.
And then we will be going in back into closed session for just 2 minutes.
Okay, so we'll adjourn to closed session and take a 2-minute break and then 2 more minutes.